This is Radio Superior 1929, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from the 1920s. This is a true story of our past, so step back with us to another time. We bring you now inside the KUWS radio studios and the Martin and McKenna Show.
This is radio station KUWS, the voice from the land of 10,000 lakes, broadcasting from Superior, Wisconsin. Good evening, this is Jack McKenna speaking. It's exactly 5 o'clock Central Standard Time, Monday, October 7th, 1929. Mr. Lou Martin has the 5 o'clock report with news about the jittery stock market, and noted American barrister Clarence Darrow makes a plea to protect morons. Ray Paulson has the latest on baseball's biggest show on earth as the Cubs face the Athletics in the World Series. Miss Farag has what's playing at the movie houses, and we have the best doggone music from the Roaring Twenties. The 5 o'clock Martin Report is brought to you by Ross Electric Company of Superior, featuring the new RCA Radiola 33, the greatest value in radio sets. Good evening, Lou.
Good evening, Jack, and good listeners. The recovery of stock prices resumed at the opening of trading today. Stock prices recovered from today's market, but several soft spots developed as shares of supporting purposes last week were thrown back into the stock market. Scores of issues were marked up 2 to 10 points, and Colombian Carbon soared 35¾ to a new high of 335. Trading was in fairly heavy volume, with the ticker showing an average delay of about 20 minutes. Most observers are agreed that last week's shakeout, one of the most dramatic on record, had improved the market's position. Still, opinion is divided as to the future course of prices. A renewal of liquidation is being looked on for some quarters within the next week, while in others it's felt that last Friday's lows will stand for some time to come. From the Duluth Cash Grain Market Board of Trade, gains prompted in the wheat market today as a result of better sentiment. It seems apparent today that the National Bank of Commerce in Superior will become a member of a giant bank merger. Advices from Milwaukee indicate that the local bank has joined the bank group. NBC President Charles A. Chase is in Milwaukee today at a conference with officials of First Wisconsin National Bank. A number of banks are already in the merger. Banks from Madison, Milwaukee, Fondulac, and Oshkosh are among the first to be taken into the group. A strange plea is made by barrister Clarence Darrow to guard morons. Webb Miller has the story from London.
This is London calling. Webb Miller, your reporter. Declaring that morons are highly valuable to society and compose a class that does the mass of the world's most important work, noted American lawyer Clarence Darrow, in an exclusive interview with United Press today, attacked the movement to sterilize mental and moral defectives. He argues, and I quote, "It is the moron who shoulders uncomplainingly the unpleasant tasks of life. If any steps are taken to prevent the reproduction of morons, many lawyers, doctors, parliamentarians, preachers, and congressmen would have to go to work," unquote. Describing the propaganda for sterilization of defectives as impractical, unscientific, and cruel, Darrow says, quote, "This is a new fad which I hope will pass away. The idea that a burglar will beat a burglar is utterly absurd. So far as heredity is concerned, a preacher is just as apt to produce a burglar as a burglar is. The training that is given to the individual after birth doubtless has a good deal to do with it. Some people favor the sterilization of the unfit, but what is meant by the unfit? In every country, there is a very large population that lives very close to wealth. Most of these people are not intellectually strong and can be characterized as morons, but morons are not all in the lower classes. Amongst the titled and the rich, there are many whose imbecility is hidden by training and wealth. Many of them have sat on thrones and other high places without tumbling. As a rule, ordinary morons work. each of these sterilized and moron workers? Somebody must work in this world. We cannot all live by our wits and good fortune. The mass of the world's most important and also most disagreeable work is done by morons or others closest to the line, unquote. In London, this is Webb Miller. That ought to make my wife's family feel better. Breathe on, brother. Turn off the microphone.
Bertram Frank here in Chicago. Everything was on a house, and Bill Fiddles paid the fiddlers when six robber barons dropped in at the Palm Gardens Roadhouse near the Illinois-Indiana state line for a hilarious $10,000 holdup. It was before dawn Sunday when some 60 revelers were beginning to fag. The sextet of holdup barons put the pep back and then some. No trace of the whimsical robbers has been found today by police, and it looks as if Bill Fiddles, owner of the place, was out $800, and his patrons had spent $1,700 and $7,500 in jewels. The barons have made frequent forays into the area where Chicago nightlife commutes for pleasure. It was their fifth visit to the Palm Gardens in 6 months. They had themselves a time punctuated from shots from their automatic guns. For 2 hours, the barons ran the program. They set up the quaking guests and drinks and smokes. They called for sprightly tunes and danced with the girls. They had a beauty contest and gave $25 of their loot as a prize to the winner. Fiddles shrugged and opened the cash register. The guests, out of habit now, raised their hands. The orchestra sat mute. "This ain't a funeral," admonished one of the robbers. "Play us a nice piece like Lover Come Back to Me." With that, the party was on. A Gary policeman, spotted in the crowd, was hauled onto the dance floor. The barons pocketed his gun and trampled his star. Several supposed bad men at the table swore glum looks. Bullets whizzed past their ears, and they all became wallflowers. Girls danced in a manner to please their impromptu escorts and got their jewels back. Quoting one of the bandits, "Everything's on a house," as he dealt out Bill Fiddle's choicest wares. In Chicago, this is Bertram Frank.
A bird evidently caused Miss May Hislop to get two broken fingers while flying a plane. When she was 15 minutes out of Toronto on the National Air Tour, something hit her hand as she was adjusting her goggles. Nothing was missing from the plane, so the accident was blamed on a bird. No feathers were found. KUWS Radio News Time is 5:07. Jack McKenna has this message from Ross Electric Company.
Thank you, Lewis, and I'd like to know how you're going to find feathers at 5,000 feet. Stretch your dollar, folks. This is one you'll be interested in, Lou. Stretch your dollar. Here's the greatest value in radio today, besides this program, of course. $86.25, complete with speaker and radiotrons and easy turns. That's Ross Electric Company's offer to you. You can own the famous RCA Radiola 33, today's fastest selling instrument, a nationwide sensation, tried, tested, and approved. New standards in tone beauty. A cabinet of rare beauty and workmanship. An outstanding value. $86.25. We offer convenient payments, weeks to pay. Ask for a demonstration here or in your own home. Never has any radio at any price offered such an opportunity for you. And the store is open evenings. Ross Electric Company, 1225 Tower Avenue. Hello?
A light boy explosion that killed three men in the Apostle Islands has a federal investigator looking into it. KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson reports via long-distance telephone line from Bayfield. Are you there, Mike?
Yes, Lou. Yes. Federal Superintendent of Lighthouses F.T. Dillon of Washington, D.C. is in Bayfield to oversee the investigation of the explosion of the Red Cliff light buoy here last Wednesday. That's when three members of the refueling crew of the lighthouse tender Marigold were killed. Assisting in the probe are Lake Superior District Lighthouse Superintendent Charles Park and his assistant, W.G. Will. They left here this morning on the Marigold to view the scene of this disaster. Search is still underway for the body of Second Mate John Spinuski, who was on the inside of the buoy at the time of the blast. Bodies of the other two victims, Louis Potestio and Louis Deverent, have been recovered, Lou.
A new record for the yearly movement of iron ore through the St. Mary's Falls Canal is practically assured for 1929. The September report boosts the total thus far this season to 62 million tons, only 1 million tons short of the record year 1916, when 63 million tons of ore passed through the Lux. During the World War, the ore traffic was at its best, the record year being 1916. After the war, ore movement slumped as low as 22 million tons in 1929. Every year since 1929, the traffic has increased steadily. Iron ore shipments should surpass the old record of 10 million tons or more. A bill signed by Governor Walter Kohler authorizing $300,000 to aid crippled children is expected to greatly reduce the number of cases. The bill establishes an institution at Madison for children throughout the state. Part of the fund will also be used to aid cities in starting classes for children. Order of Elks will assist. Superior Elk A.W. Dad Holland says that they will work with the state. The city council chambers at Superior City Hall are expected to be filled to capacity tonight when a special committee of the Superior Association of Commerce will meet with citizens about securing a 5-cent trolley fare for students of public and parochial schools. Association Transportation Chairman Elmer Hard is heading the effort. Mayor George Dietrich will extend Superior's greetings to the Right Reverend Theodore Reverman tonight. Bishop Reverman returned from Rome Saturday after meeting with the Pope. Bishop Reverman will talk about his visit. He was present when the head of the Catholic Church made his first exit from the grounds of the Vatican in 60 years.
60 years? The popes are quite the homebodies, aren't they? Thanks, Mr. Lou Martin, who hasn't left his newsroom in a century or so. Now the forecast from the United States Weather Bureau in downtown Duluth for this Monday evening, October 7th, 1929. Clear and pleasant tonight. Sunny and nice tomorrow, with a high of 67 degrees. It's time to play our wax recordings. Here's Frank Crummett singing Lou's theme song and Stumbling on the Martin and McKenna Show.
Attention, folks, speak of joke. This is one on me. Took my gal to a dance at the Armory. Music played, dancers swayed, then we joined the crowd. I can't dance, took a chance, and right then we started. Stumbling all around, stumbling all around, stumbling all around, so funny. Stumbling here and there, stumbling everywhere, and I must declare, I stepped right on her toes, and when she bumped my nose, I fell, and when I rose, I felt ashamed, and told her, that's the latest step, that's the latest step, that's the latest step, my honey. Notice all the pep, notice all the pep, notice all the pep. She said, stop mumbling, though you are stumbling. I like it just a little bit, quite a little bit. Young and small, short and tall, folks most everywhere, take a chance to do this dance, they think it's a bear. People rave and they crave just to do this step. Off they go, nice and slow, when the band starts playing. Stumbling all around, stumbling all around, so funny. Stumbling here and there, stumbling everywhere, and I must declare, I stepped right on her toes, and when she bumped my nose, I fell, and when I rose, I felt ashamed, and told her, that's the latest step, that's the latest step, that's the latest step, my honey. Notice all the pep, notice all the pep, notice all the pep. She said, stop mumbling, though you are stumbling. I like it just a little bit, quite a little bit.
Yes, sir. Frank Crummett and Stumbling on station KUWS. Miss Farag is next with what's playing at the movie houses. And Rapid Ray has the latest on the World Series. So let's just keep that roaring 20s music going, friends. Here's Abe Lyman and his orchestra, and Where'd You Get Those Eyes? On the Martin and McKenna Show. Abe Lyman and his orchestra with Where'd You Get Those Eyes on station KUWS. Well, hiya, Lou.
Wow. Nice outfit thingy.
Why, thank you, Louis. I picked out the ensemble all by myself, although it was dark when I dressed.
Oh, Jack, really? I believe Louis was addressing me.
Oh, I don't think so. You were talking about me, weren't you, Lou?
Very, very nice. Blue polka dots on your dress.
Bested by polka dots once again.
Aren't you going to introduce me, Louis? You're my daddy.
Certainly. Sorry. Now, Miss Farriet Hogrig, with what's playing at the movie theaters.
I think Lou's got blue polka dots on the brain.
Miss Harriet Farrig.
Thank you, Louis. I'll have to wear this outfit more often. Kaleidoscope settings and the whirl and swirl of the age of jazz. Youth and all its buoyant foibles, tinsel and glitter, and under it all the mighty undercurrent of the laws of life which no fashion, mode, or cult can change. These are the dominating elements in Our Modern Maidens, Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer's epic of the jazz age. Starring Joan Crawford, Rod Laroque, and Douglas Fairbanks Jr., Modern Maidens is playing at the Palace Theater as a synchronized sound production.
So it's a talkie, then.
The motion picture business no longer calls them talkies. Also, there will be three splendid Vitaphone acts with Eddie Cantor, Ziegfeld, Frolics, and starting Friday, Lon Chaney is in Thunder. At the Princess Theater, Charlie Chase stars in the comedic film Mission Bells. It's in Technicolor.
A Technitalkie?
No, Jack. At the Savoy, romance and daring is featured with Ted Wells starring in The Ridin' Demon. Also, the Savoy will have a Mike and Ike comedy and a Sportlight novelty. Tickets are just 10 cents and 25 cents at the Savoy.
So, how come I can't call them talkies anymore?
Here's the score, Jack. Photoplay magazine held a contest to see what word best describes the new motion pictures with sound. The winner was a square from Brooklyn who suggested phonoplay.
Phonoplay? So you're going to have to say a play of a phonoplay is playing at the movie house? You think it'll catch on, Lou? I say, you think it'll catch on, Lou?
Maybe I shouldn't wear this dress anymore.
Lou does look happy, though.
Think it's on account of my little dress? Maybe I'd better scram.
What a dish.
Better take it on the lamb and scram, lady. Flapper dresses make Lou weak in the knees and in the head. Here's Jelly Roll Morton and his orchestra with Tagtown Bump on the Martin and McKenna Scrammin' Gams and a Leg of Lamb show. Jelly Roll Morton and Tanktown Bump, featuring Walter Briscoe on the trumpet and Polo Barnes on the soprano sax, from the Victor Talking Machine Company on station KUWS. Now, Rapid Ray Paulson with the news from the sporting world. Hi, Ray.
Hi, Jake.
Boy, I'm really jazzed up for the World Series tomorrow.
Well, take a load off, Jake, and listen in, fans of the sporting world. There is more than one game in town. Green Bay's Packers were forced to extend themselves at yesterday's game against the Chicago Cardinals. But this version of the 1929 Packers, oh, they look good, folks. They tipped the Cards 9-2 for their third straight pigskin win. Llewellyn twice fumbled when the Packers were within the Cardinals' five-yard line, but the Packer redeemed himself in the last period of this bitterly fought contest. That's when Llewellyn scored a touchdown to cinch the win. Closer to home, the Ashland High footballers failed to put points on the board in spite of outplaying the Morgan Park 11 at Morgan Park on Saturday. The huge Ashland Warriors were unable to push the ball across the goal line, even as their splendid pair of ends, Nevers and Kellogg, made some acrobatic catches. Okay, sporting fans, this golden age of sports continues tomorrow when Connie Mack's Athletics face the battling Bruins of Joseph McCarthy's Chicago Cubs. Baseball's biggest show on earth comes as Chicagotown hosts the highly trained white elephants of Cornelius McGillicuddy. The main event of baseball's most colorful carnival. Stripped of the billboard phrases, it's the Philadelphia Athletics against the Chicago Cubs for the World Championship. And perhaps the richest money reward for the ballplayers in series history. Fully 50,000 fans, a record for any series game ever played outside of New York, are expected to jam Wrigley Field to the limit of its bleacher extensions tomorrow for the battle that renews a baseball rivalry between Phillytown and Chi-Town of 19 years ago in 1910. It marks the re-entry of Connie Mack's Athletics into the series for the first time in 15 years, and the Cubs after a lapse of 11 years. 19 years ago, the proud Cubs of Frank Chance's era were heavy favorites, only to be beaten. The anticipated selection of Charlie Root, famous for his wrinkle ball, instead of Iron Man Pat Malone, was backed by a record of fine performances under fire. Malone has won more games than any of the Cubs slingers this year. He was slated to pitch the first game, but now it'll be Root instead. Root has returned to form in the past fortnight. He has been good in so many tight spots that he may find himself right at home in the opening tumult and roar. He'll be opposed by Lefty Grove, or spitballer Jack Quinn of the A's, in Game 2. It will be one of the high spots of the series to see whether the great Rogers Hornsby and slugging outfielder Hack Wilson do more damage with their war clubs than Athletics youngsters Simmons and Jimmy Fox. This quartet contributed to a grand total of 146 home runs during the regular season. Four umpires will handle the World Series game. They are Bill Clem and Charles Moran, representing the National League, with Roy Vangerflan and William Dineen, the choices for the American League. It will be Clem's 14th appearance as an arbiter in the World Series. This is Rapid Ray Paulson reminding you that everyone loves a good sport.
I'm Jake? So jazzed up, Daddy. Oh, boy, I'm jazzed up. Go Athletics.
I'm rooting for the Cubbies. I mean, you know, they're due. How much longer can they go without a world championship? I'll bet you a fin on it.
Just don't spot me a Swede. Here's one I know you're going to enjoy. New from Paul Whiteman and his orchestra. This is The Salt of My Tears on the Martin and McKenna Show.
Thank you. looking like a leaf on a tree that's coming loose from the stem. Shaking like a leaf on a tree, because I'm coming loose, my man. I'm like a weeping willow, weeping on my pillow. For years and years there ain't no sweet man that's worth the soul of my ba da da ba wa da ba dee doo ba 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 da da wa da. Down and down he dragged me, like a fiend he nagged me. For years and years there ain't no sweet man that's worth the soul of my ba da da ba da da da. Although I may be blue, still I'm through. I must tell him goodbye, rather than have that man gonna lay me down and just die. So, broken-hearted sisters, aggravated misters, lend me your ears, there ain't no sweet man that's worth the soul of mine. Ba da 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 ba da da ba da ba da da ba da ba da ba da ba da.
And his orchestra, and the salt of my tears.
All right, guys.
Oh,
sorry, Harriet. I gotta just think of you as one of the guys.
You've been watching too many ball games.
I guess this blue polka dot dress isn't so captivating on Ray.
He looks better in yellow polka dots.
I might as well just throw this dress out.
Oh, could I have it? Huh? Forget it.
Anyway, as I was saying, guys...
Me too. Include Chief Engineer in charge, Joe.
Chief Joe. Now that's got a good ring to it. Maybe you've got some Indian blood in you.
I'm told that the strain of the brave Red Man Warrior runs through my veins. Well, along with Norwegian, Italian, and a hint of Swedish. That Swedish part is the shame of the family. Do you know why?
No, and we don't want to know.
Anyway, I think we should all head down to the telegram building and watch the World Series tomorrow.
I don't know. A body could get beat up there. There are many truants and hoods skipping school to watch the game.
That's all right, Joe. I'll protect you.
Gee, a nice dress here. Fits her real nicely, shapely, roundly, hiply.
Smooth. So, is it the same setup at the telegram as before?
Yep. They've got quite the display board. It takes up just about the whole wall on 13th Street between Tower and Banks. They've got a baseball diamond layout, a telegraph hookup, will give you a blow-by-blow account of the action, and they have lights that show where each ball is hit and where the runners end up. They've been doing it for years. Say, Jake, guess how many light bulbs they have?
A lot, I can tell you that.
I wouldn't have the faintest idea.
It'd take forever to count the lights. Who would do that?
I'm asking Jake.
600. I counted them last year.
Whew! 600 is right. You get to buy the soda pop.
Wait a sec.
And this year, WEBC is carrying the broadcast from Wrigley Field. Graham McNamee will give the word pictures of the big contest. McNamee has been doing it since 1925, when he did the first game from Forbes Field in Pittsburgh.
That's nothing. Before you know it, technology will bring the games to every movie theater instantaneously. So big boards like at the telegram will go the way of the dinosaur. You know, we engineers are out in front on that kind of stuff. We're big baseball fans, but often our social lives are too busy to attend games. We're in demand, you know.
From whom?
The elks, the moose,
the squirrels, mice, and chipmunks, too.
Many of these service clubs want to hear the latest and know that engineers are the ones to ask.
The trouble is, it's so hard to get off work to see the games.
That's true. News is always going on in the afternoon.
Sheesh. You two are really Hicksville.
Yes, real Hicksville.
You should squawk, Mr. Talkies. You cats have to be hep with the lingo, like Harriet and me. So, Mr. Newsman, they'll be playing World Series games at night, so more people can see the games on radio vision. They'll put up lights in all the ballparks, just like they've put speakers and sound systems in the movie houses.
That'll be the day. Lights at Wrigley Field?
Matter of fact, I have it on good authority, knowing those Chicagoans, that'll be the first place they put up lights.
Okay, guys, we meet there at 1 o'clock. I'll bring the straw hats.
What does one wear with a straw hat?
A blue polka dot dress would work.
Lewis. Stay tuned for Roxy's Gang, folks. The General Motors Hour with the John Phillips Sousa Band. And live from Hotel Duluth, the Arco Coffee Arconians at 8 o'clock. And we'll be back same time, same place on your radio dial. Oh, the good Lord willing, that is. And Lou doesn't get arrested for wearing Harriet's blue polka dot tomorrow.
Cute.
He doesn't have the legs for it.
Or the hips. Lewis just doesn't have any hips.
For Lou and the gang, then, this is Jack McKenna wishing one and all a good night.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1929, an original production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Harriet Fahlrig is played by Jennifer Simonson. Other performances by Don Hansen, John Munsell, Ray Paulson, and Pat Kelly. All events reported on Radio Superior 1929 are actual accounts from the Superior Evening Telegram. This is your announcer, Mark Snow, speaking. Good night.